Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio. Scott Culbranson, along with your boy Q Myers. We are continuing the discussion around COVID-19, Trent Brown, this whole rigmarole. Hello. Let me get it out.
Say that here. Three times faster.
I couldn't even say it once.
I know. Imagine, that's why I said try to do it again.
Imagine three times. Rigmarole. There we go. Bobby corrected me. Bobby Machado.
Shout out to Bobby.
The legend.
Shout out to Bob. Spelt Bob. B-O-B. Both ways. Front and back.
You know what that's
called?
You know what that's called when it's spelled the same frontwards and backwards?
It's called a spelt the name front and back.
I love it. Okay, so here we go. Injury report. Outside of Trent Brown and the offensive line, who we know are coming back, the only two Raider players that we have seen that are ruled out according to today's injury report are Keyshawn Nixon with a groin. He did not participate in practice all week. And then also Brian Edwards still did not participate in practice. Good news, Malik Collins was limited in practice all week, but is listed as questionable, as is Carl Nassib. So good chance those guys will play. For the Buccaneers, no one, only one player listed as questionable, and that is safety Andrew Adams with a hamstring, who he participated in practice on Friday. So the Buccaneers look to be full, almost 100%. Coming in to face the Raiders on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We're going to go on the phones right now.
Hey, real quick, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go to that, I want to talk about the injury report. You mentioned Brian Edwards.
Yes.
He looks like he has the potential to be a really, really good player. My only concern with Brian Edwards, and this is way early, very premature, but I just want everyone to know what's in my mind. I just hope he doesn't turn out to be a guy that's always in the training room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, injury is what made him drop in the draft. You can see what he could be when he's out there healthy on the field. I just hope that he doesn't continue to have a history of these injuries, man, because that'll be, I don't want to say waste, but, man, it'll be a shame because this guy looks like he could be such a talent.
I agree with you, and he's got the situation where he's had injury throughout his career in college.
That's what I'm saying.
And so you hope that it doesn't happen because you're right. The size, the ability, he is fantastic. And I think that, yeah, if he can get him on the field and stay on the field, then
sky's the limit.
That could be the steal of the draft for them, really.
Exactly.
Because he's that good. But we'll have to see. All right, we're going out to our good friend El Paso Raider. El Paso Raider, how's your Friday going, brother?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Not too good, to be honest. I want to mention on the COVID thing first. You know, I do believe that all this stuff was brought up on ourselves. You know, we got to man up and deal with it. You know, it started off with John not wearing his mask on the sideline, and then that individual that went in the locker room, and it just kept going. You know, with the guys doing the fundraiser, and now with Trent Brown, of course the league's gonna get mad, and they're gonna try to punish us somehow, right? The only thing that I don't agree with is when you have BSPN, which I call them BSPN, like Greeny and Wingo and all them talking about taking draft picks from us. I mean, who the hell are these guys? Why do they got to talk about and bring it up and let the whole people know so that they can bring ideas to the NFL, which I don't agree with. That's what gets me mad. Stuff like that. Like why are you bringing us up when it's not in your business? They never talk about us when we're good. They don't even bring us up. But when we're bad, they go in there and they kick us in the mouth. You know, and another thing about, I'm going to disagree with one of the callers about Trent Brown. You know, one good example here is look at Carl Nassib. You know, he pretty much broke his toe, and he's already back in practice. That tells you how much dedication and what kind of a will and the demeanor of a person that wants to come back to work. You know, this guy's no good to us when he's on the bench for five weeks. You know what I mean? He barely played one game. Yeah, he let us win, but that's about it. I mean, he's no good to us if he can't play at all. You know, and that's the only thing I got, pretty much.
Yeah. I'll pass
good stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I like it. And, you know, one thing I'll say is regardless, some teams are so well ran, their front office is so strong that they make tough decisions that some teams look at and say, well, I would have never done that, but they do it. My example for that, the Baltimore Ravens. They moved on from Earl Thomas and didn't nobody sign him. Once Baltimore moved on from him, they said, eh, no, we're done. And Earl Thomas is a hell of a talent. How many people have called into the show and said, the Raiders need to call Earl Thomas? Look, he's still sitting at home for a reason. You know, Seattle moved on from Earl Thomas. You know, and they bring in guys that are questionable. They're talking about bringing in AB. That's a possibility. And by the way, there's other news on AB and where he might be going. Very interesting. Maybe a team that the Raiders are playing on Sunday. Just going to throw that out there.
Wow.
But, man, so there's just a lot to think about. And, you know, I just feel like at some point, if a guy is not willing to get in line and be a teammate and help build the team and make it, you know, it's the ultimate team sport. So if you can't help get this team over the top because you're selfishly doing things on your own, then you need to kick rocks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. El Paso Raider, thanks for the call, man.
And good call.
And yeah, I mean, that's true. And his point about the national media, and again, we talked about this ad nauseum, yeah. Right, about the national media. And I understand that, but that's sort of like when you're considered that Maverick franchise or you think that the rest of the world kind of hates on the Raiders, which I think was true at a certain point and still lingers to this day. Then when you do something wrong, yes, they're going to compound it. Okay, so the key is win, baby, and do it the right way. If you do that,
you know what I've always said, Scott.
What's that?
And I've never said it on this show, but I've always said nobody hates someone who sucks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or nobody. I'm serious. Yeah. Think about this.
You're right.
There's no reason to hate someone who sucks or is just terrible at life or is just an absolute loser because they already are bad. They're already doing bad. There ain't no reason to compound them or talk bad about them. Like, does anyone ever really hate on the Jaguars? No, because they suck. You know, I mean, it, seriously. Yeah. And I know the Raiders have been on a long, bad stretch, and I know Jacksonville beat them last year. But in general, they're not very good, so nobody talks about them. So I know what El Paso Raiders saying. Like, why is the national media talking about the Raiders? This is a big story. I mean, it really is. It was supposed to be a Sunday night game, and it's not. And all the take a draft picks away from a guy who does radio for 5 hours a day, it's just conversation. It's just to get the ball rolling. It's just to get the conversation going. I wouldn't worry about that. Don't take that. He's not giving any ideas to the NFL that the NFL doesn't already have.
No, exactly.
So,
and they
don't
haven't
worry
done
about
it.
That.
There's been the thing with the Titans and the unauthorized workouts and all that stuff. If they didn't do it with the Titans, they're not going to do it with anybody else.
No, exactly.
They dangled that out there to show the seriousness of which they were taking the virus and how they wanted their teams to act in the protocol. That's what that was. So you hear it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. But I do think that, you know, when you hear the national media, had somebody tweet at me from Mike Florio. Look, Mike Florio, I think he's pretty open that he doesn't like the radio organization.
Yes.
I don't think he tries
to
hide it.
He's made that clear.
Right. He doesn't try to hide it. So when you see him tweet out something that's inflammatory, he's just trying to get links from you. And God bless him.
And he gets it.
He gets it because he's making a ton of money off you guys because you click through and hate on it.
Right. And the thing is, he knows how passionate Raider Nation is. So if you put something out, good, bad, or ugly about the Raiders, you're going to click on it. And more times than not, if you put out something negative on the Raiders, you're really going to click on it. Yeah. So that's part of the reasoning why guys like Colin Cowherd always switch up their conversation. And Mike Florio puts out what he puts out. And Chris Sims and cats like that. They do that to play with your emotions. What did they say? What did Smokey say or Craig say? No, Smokey. You want to mess with my emotions, man? No, that was Big Worm. I don't know who it was, but
there
either
you
way.
Go. But you're right, and that's what it is. And that's where when you look at the media, and we don't do it very often on this show. Every once in a while, we'll ask questions of you, and it's meant to spur conversation, but we don't sensationalize, right? And some people, that's how they do their stuff. They do their stuff by sensation. I know people on radio here in Las Vegas who want to be that guy everybody hates, right? And so you're going to do everything you can so that people try to hate you because that's how you think you generate. You're going to play that character because it is the entertainment business, whether you look
but
at
see,
it or not.
But see, there's also guys that think that the Raiders could do no wrong.
Correct.
And every single thing they put out or they say or they talk about is roses and puppy dogs and rainbows when it comes to the Raiders. And that's simply not the case either. So that's why me personally, and I'm only going to speak for me, I'm never going to sugarcoat anything. If it's a duck, I'm going to call it a duck. If it's great, I'll call it great. I mean, you know, if you eat it and then you release it later, it is what it is.
It is. But that's where I don't understand these folks who want to sit here and talk about this like it's someone else's fault. Again, it's no one else's fault. The NFL is not treating the Raiders any differently than they've treated anybody else. And you can argue how the rules have changed, because they have changed since the Tennessee Titan incident, and that's a different incident. But what I'm saying to all of you out there is, don't go looking for or creating a boogeyman. The boogeyman is your team. They didn't follow the protocols, whether it was one guy or 50 guys. Doesn't matter. It's how they set up the rules, and they broke the rules, and now they're paying the price for it, which is they basically aren't getting practice time. And it's unfortunate because it's one guy. I mean, right. And again, we'll see what the investigation shows. You have to give that one tiny bit of benefit of the doubt to Trent Brown, because if they come back with something and they exonerate him, great. I don't think it's going to happen, but if they do, great. But until right. that time, you go with what you got, and you have to play a game. And delaying the game isn't going to do anything. Okay? It's not going to do anything. And you can't delay
not
game unless one guy.
It's multiple guys.
Right. Right.
But if you only miss one guy. And look, Sean hit us up on Twitter, both myself and you, and he put it perfectly when it comes to Trent Brown. How many coincidences does it take before it's true? Trent Brown, questions about his calf injury, questions about his work ethic, getting proper treatment to get back, question about how important is football in life, now COVID-19 and tracker. At some point, you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? A duck is a duck.
Yes. Quack,
sometimes
quack.
It's not everyone else's fault. Sometimes it's on you.
Yeah. You're right. Exactly. All right. We're going to go out on the phones again. Luis in Fresno, the 559, has something to say. What's going on, Luis?
Oh.
Hey, what's going on, Scott and Q?
Hey
Q, I got to correct you real quick, man. It's Big Worm, and the quote is, playing my money is like playing my emotions. That's what Trent Brown
That's right.
What Trent Brown is doing, man.
That's right.
I think Raiders just need to cut ties with that, man, honestly. I think we should cut our losses where they're at right now, and then probably look to the free agent line, man. I know there's a guy, Cordy Glenn. I know he's a veteran. Bring someone in and let Young just handle his business, you know, take over the tackle spot. What do you guys think about that?
I think that it's always great when the 559 comes and has my back. I appreciate that, Big Worm. But I think that, you know, you gotta explore all options. You know what I mean? Like, I know in their heart, just like Antonio Brown, they want to hold on to Trent Brown. But at some point, I think that a headache's going to become too big of a headache, and they'll say, all right, enough is enough. They're only through 6 games. They got 10 more possibly up and down situations with this dude. So it could get worse before it gets better.
It could.
Yeah.
All right. Honking out. Thank you for the honk.
That's how we do it in the 559. Represent, baby.
I love it, man. All right, we're going out to Fernando in Los Angeles. Fernando, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Gus? How you guys doing today?
Good, brother.
Chilling.
Hey, I just want to say, you know what? Thank God for you coming up with your own radio station, because NBC Sports Bay Area, they don't publish anything about the Raiders anymore ever since the Raiders moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I just want to say another thing is, Kitty from Oakland, so... Hey, what's up? From the Bay Area also, for the 408. And
nice.
I just want to say, when it comes to the Raiders being always being on the bad side when it comes to the media, I just want to say that it's the same thing with the Warriors also back in the day when the Warriors were bad. And even when the Warriors were good, they never really quite gave them the credit that they gave the credit, just like the Lakers. And as when it comes to the Raiders, we will be back, and then you know what? Let's not pay attention to all this bad media attention from ESPN, because when we finally make it back to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, it's going to be a lot much more sweeter. Thank you.
There you go, Fernando. Great call. By the way, I've not heard that BSPN before. Is that like a thing?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
Because you're on an ESPN station down there.
I'm on an ESPN station.
Yeah, so you probably hear it.
Okay. And so, it is what it is.
Of course.
I know where people are coming from, and it's not what it used to be. It's not what I grew up on, but I like to argue and tell everybody that it's still 4 of the most important letters in sports.
No doubt. No
I
question.
Mean, it just carries a lot of weight, regardless how you feel about it.
It does. Well, we're going to go a mile high and bring in Raider Dave from Denver. Raider Dave, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
You know, I try to listen as much as I can, and maybe I missed something the last day and a half or so, but I have not heard anybody talk about how Gruden and Mayock have brought players in that absolutely love football. And maybe that's true, and maybe we'll find out with Good and Young and James and whoever else is going to play the line this weekend if they get the shot. But it's obvious over and over and over again that Brown does not seem to love football.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, the preponderance of evidence, to use a legal term, like, because I don't know. I mean, we've never seen him say anything like that. But when you talk to journalists, when you talk to people off the record, you get that. So it's hard. I mean, look, I don't like to besmirch a man, but all you can go off of is record and the pattern of behavior, right? And,
well, that's two Browns, two seasons in a row. Maybe we should just stay away from that.
Yeah, but then
free agents haven't been great for the Raiders.
No, you're right. You're right. And that's the thing. They gave him a ton of money, and there were warning signs before they signed him. Like,
yeah.
In the scouting reports from the 49ers got rid of him because of that. They felt like he wasn't into the game.
So exactly.
Then he goes to New England. He has that one good season there for the Super Bowl win, and he was ready to cash in, and he did. And then the rest is history, as you know.
Smart businessman.
You see it all the time in youth sports. I know Q's seen it. Texas was the whole youth football. Man, when you have all the talent in the world, guess what? Your grades don't matter. Your desire doesn't really matter. You show up on Sunday or Saturday morning or whenever it is, Friday night, and you just have the ability. You get away with a lot of other stuff. And I just, you know, as much as they've said that we have players that love football, I just don't see it from this one. And I hope we don't have any more players like that.
Yeah, no, you want all the guys on the same page, and a lot of those young guys seem to have exactly that, the passion for the game, and they're alpha dogs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I thought they were going to go 3-3 anyway. I would rather see them beat the Chiefs than Brady, and I guess if we have our druthers, we'll just see them in the Super Bowl and then kick his butt.
There you go. Raider Dave, man, thanks again, as always. Have a great weekend up there in Denver, where I know it's going to snow on Sunday. So,
you know, and I think that a lot of the rookie class and the guys that they are bringing in as far as just draft picks, I think a lot of them do have love for football and really, really love football. But I will say some of the free agents, and this is, you know, this is what it is when you go and get free agency. They're free agents for a reason. A team found it okay to allow this guy to walk. You know, and I know some people will say, well, oh, they couldn't afford him. I still tend to believe that if you really want this guy 100%, you can keep him. You can find a way to make it work. And that's just my opinion. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But there's always a reason why a guy is a free agent. So you kind of take your chances. Sometimes it works out great. Sometimes it doesn't. That's why teams, Scott, and you know this very well, teams that are built through the draft as opposed to built through the free agency are the ones that last and the ones that are really, really successful. Free agency is supposed to solidify your team, not build it.
That's right. You're right. You add the missing ingredients. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to have the Q-tip before Q gets to leave and go do high school football for the rest of the night. So his day has just started here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Back on this Friday, Free For All Friday, yeah.
Scott, are you seeing this news?
About Antonio Brown?
This is blowing my mind, yeah.
Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers have been quietly working on a deal with Antonio Brown, and now it's very close. Tom Brady's been pushing for this for some time. Now it looks like it's happening. Brown is on his way to Tampa Bay. Wow.
Wow. Didn't work out in New England with Brady, where he stayed at his house. Now he's going to bunk again with Giselle and he lives down there too anyway, so.
Wow, that's something, boy. That is something.
We'll see how that goes. I know he won't be on the field for Sunday.
No, he's suspended 8 games still.
Yes.
But I'm just thinking, man, a team that gets this dude who is a problem, but, you know, for a couple games, he'll probably keep his mouth shut and just go out there and play. I mean, he's a hell of a player. He's kind of like what we've been talking about. You sometimes close your eyes to these players that are so stinking good. You just kind of take who they are and roll with it. Take your chances.
Yeah. Maybe they'll take Trent Brown, too.
Don't stop. Don't ask them. They will. You heard what he said about Brady in the offseason.
Yeah. And we talked to yesterday We talked to Pewter Report. We talked to Greg Allman from The Athletic about that offensive line, which has done okay, but could yep. be better.
Yep. And you know? He'd probably go out there and ball out for him.
Yeah.
Never, exactly. never have a calf injury. Never have any kind of worries.
That sounds like a true Raider fan right there. All right. Man. It's that time of the day where we turn over the mic and we turn over the truth meter because he's always going to give it to you. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
I figured I'd leave today on a high note. Since this will be the last thing I talk about, I figure I'll give some positivity to Raider Nation to think about over the weekend as they prepare for this game on Sunday versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I want to give some props to Derek Carr, who is about to start his 100th game in his NFL career, his Raider career. So NFL Communications sent this email to me. Las Vegas quarterback Derek Carr entered Week 7, leading all qualified passers in completion percentage, 73.1, while ranking second in passer rating, 115.9. In 99 career starts, Carr has 24,235 passing yards, 2,248 completions, and 154 touchdown passes, all that are the most in Raider franchise history. With at least 15 completions against Tampa Bay on Sunday, and it says Sunday Night Football, which is not going to be that anymore, but that's okay, Carr will surpass Tony Romo with 2,262 completions for the second most career completions by a player through his first 100 starts in NFL history. Only Matthew Stafford with 2,410 has more. And there it is.
There it is.
So tip of the cap to Derek Carr as I walk out the door on a Friday.
So you're saying the Raiders need a new quarterback?
I'm saying he's done a great job stabilizing the position for the Raiders.
Yes.
And, you know, when you look back at his body of work, sometimes you ask questions about what he's done or what he hasn't done. Well, again, statistics, sometimes they tell the truth, sometimes they tell all, sometimes they tell some of the story. And some of the story is he's put up some pretty big numbers.
All right, so where are you going tonight? What game are you covering?
Temple and Bryan. I'm going to Temple, Texas, which is actually kind of close. That's why I don't have to leave till like right now. But, yeah, it's going to be cold, man. It's going to be like 30 degrees out tonight.
30?
See, yeah, I got my long johns on already. I'm going to have my hoodie on.
Good man.
It's tough out there for a sideline reporter, man.
It is. I know.
It ain't Allegiant Stadium. I'm not in the dome.
Yeah, we get the cold spell coming here on Monday. It's going to go from 87 this weekend to 59 on Monday. So that's, you know, for us up here, that's bone-chilling cold. So,
yeah, well, it's bone-chilling cold here already.
Man, well, listen, enjoy yourself, Q Myers. We will talk to you on Monday. We appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right. There's Q Myers. He's off to cover high school football. While we stand by, take your call, 702-365-9200 for the Raiders situation, for the game, whatever you want to talk about, we're here to talk about. But this is a huge game for the Raiders. Despite the distractions, despite the players missing, if they can somehow come out, win this game against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, because the Buccaneers right now, they're getting all that love. And they deserve some of it. That defense really has stepped up. They're mean, they're vicious, and they're all over the field. Doesn't mean they don't have weaknesses. But what it does mean is the Raiders coming into this, this is why I thought it was very much like the Chiefs game, and the Raiders did do this in the second half, is you kind of have to play error-free, complementary football. If you can play error-free, complementary football against the Chiefs, you beat them. And they did in that second half. It was enough, despite the fact that they gave up a bunch of points in the first half. They held them to 8 in the second half against the Chiefs game. If they can do that with Tom Brady, if they can contain that defense, if the offensive line, whoever's playing on it, can prevent Derek Carr from going down too much, from being pressured too much, and you give him the time to throw with the weapons he has. With Hunter Renfrow, who I'm still waiting for that big breakout game for Hunter Renfrow. He's been playing his role, doing his job, just like everyone else on that Raiders offense. But you got to figure some of these guys will break out. When they double up Waller, they double up Ruggs, whatever they may do, I think that Carr has the opportunity to sling the ball around a lot here on Sunday afternoon now. Now, of course, it was going to be a national game for the whole world to see this Raiders team. But I think now, you know, if you're the Raiders inside that building with all that's gone on this week with this COVID disaster, you got to kind of play the card of it's us against the world. Nobody's going to give us a chance now because we're missing Trent Brown and we're missing Jonathan Abram again. So what do you do? I think you get your team ready and you say, look, it's time to just go out and do the job. And how do we do that job? On offense, we got to establish the run. Then we got to get the ball vertical, just like they did at Kansas City. I don't see the game plan much different. Yeah, you're playing a better defense, but you still need to get that running game going. And that's going to be tough against the Bucs because the Bucs are the best defense against the run in the NFL. And they're coming in mean and hungry. They're coming off this big, big win against Green Bay. And now today they're about to sign Antonio Brown. He can't come back till after week 8. But they're making moves, man. They're adding. As Q said earlier before he left, that you don't build your team through free agency, you add to it. And Antonio Brown, despite the crazy that comes with it, they're going down to get him too. So this team feels like they're on the cusp of really making a run. So if they're going to do that, that's what they want to do. They want to go out and get players to make them better. So we'll see. But I think that this game will be determined a lot by how things go in the first half. If the Raiders establish that run and they can get the ball in the air, that'll help them. Because I think that some of the weaknesses, despite the young good cornerbacks that the Buccaneers have, I think they're exploitable. I think if you can soften the middle of that defense with the run, you'll be able to pass the ball on them. I really believe that, especially with how Derek Carr has been slinging it around the field, and especially how Henry Ruggs changes the game going vertical. And then you got Darren Waller, you got Foster Moreau, you got Jason Witten. I mean, the names just go on and on. You have the opportunity to really do something there if you can get it going. So I don't want, despite the fact that I've been critical of the lack of institutional control, if you will, with the Raiders around this COVID situation, that doesn't mean I don't think they can win this game, because I think they can. We're going out now to Brian in Las Vegas. He wants to get on the conversation. Brian, what's going on today, buddy?
Hey, Scott. I think it's probably wishful thinking, but who knows? I mean, any given Sunday. How before the game, when they're saying, who do you think who's going to win the game? Like against Kansas City, everybody had Kansas City beating the Raiders. It's probably going to be the same thing with Tampa Bay this week with all the stuff that's going on. It would have probably been 50-50 if none of this existed. I'd like us to just go ahead and just go ahead, Carr, bombs away and win this game.
Yeah.
And prove everybody wrong again. I would just love to see that.
Yeah, Brian. Okay. I know. I really thought going – thank you, Brian. I appreciate the call, as always. I really thought going into this game, and it was as we were going through the regular week before all this stuff came up and kind of took us to a different path and on the show with talking about this situation, I really felt like this could be a shootout. I really did. Despite as good as that Tampa Bay defense has been, I just thought that the Raiders – with the matchup and what they do, that they'd be able to throw the ball a lot. And I think they need to. I think John Gruden, that again, I go back to the conversation in Kansas City on the sideline that we all saw on video where Derek Carr talks to his coach on the sideline and says, Do you trust me? I think that's what they need to do. They were very successful. Kansas City's defense isn't as good as Tampa Bay's, but it's pretty good. And they made it look not so good. So I think that you're right. I think if you can throw the ball around a little bit, that would help significantly. So I'm there with you. I'd like to see them do it. We got a text here from our buddy Jay Native 3, and he says, what's up, Q and Scott? Second day in a row, I got to listen to you. Let's look at this optimistically. If no one else tests positive, we only go without Trent and Abram. Still a hit to the team, but I got faith in this young team, but nervous about the strong safety position, especially against Brady. Do you believe Heath is ready for a full game? I know he got a big pick last week, but physically, can he handle it? And what about Levitt at strong safety? Thoughts? So as it comes to Heath, yeah, it's a good question. And that's where it lost in the conversation, especially at the beginning, but I think fans have come around to it. By the way, thanks, J-Native, is the fact that the loss of Jonathan Abram, yeah, you don't want to lose your offensive line, but you basically will have one guy out. And so losing Trent Brown, losing Jonathan Abram on that back end is the leader. He's the key back there, even though he's a young guy. You've heard the rest of the defense. We had Cleveland Farrell on. He talked about it. You've heard other guys like Corey Littleton talk about it. You've heard Trayvon Mullen talk about it. So not having your guy back there, your alpha dog who does all the communicating, who talks to everybody, absolutely. That's a key concern. And I think a big, big hole. What they're going to do, yeah, I have Jeff Heath. You have Eric Harris is going to be back there too. They're going to have to just patch it together like they've done in the past due to injury. So this time he's not technically injured, but he's on the COVID list. So they're going to have to find a way. I mean, that's just the bottom line, the whole next man up thing. I know it sounds cliche, but in this case, when you're missing players, you're going to have to. You're just going to have to. But it is a huge concern, especially you got Arnett out on the other side. Keyshawn Nixon's out. So you're banged up back there. And that's against Tom Brady. You can say what you want to about Tom Brady and passing deep now at 43 years old. He doesn't need to go deep to beat you. He can beat you all kinds of ways. And if you're going to give him time in the pocket, that's why I think it's even more important for that defensive front to finally step up and play four quarters. If they can play four quarters and put pressure on Tom Brady, make him uncomfortable in that pocket at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday afternoon, that's going to help significantly with the losses in the defensive backfield. So that's going to be, you know, that's how it works. So we're going to step aside and take a break. We'll continue on here. We'll talk to Vinny Bonsignor coming up in a little while as well. You're here on Silver and Black today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorney, 702-820-1234, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black today. Home stretch on this Friday. This Friday feels like it's the third Friday. Feels like this week has been really, really long. And one of the guys who's been just busting his hump, bringing you the latest news, and always good. He's always good, but in a week like this where you have all kinds of madness going on, the cream always rises to the top. And, of course, right there with it is Vincent Vinny Bonsignor, who joins us now. He hosts In the Huddle coming up next at 4 o'clock with Lincoln Kennedy. And Vinny, first of all, I got to ask you a big question.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Quite the week to jump back in after the bye week. There was no rest for the weary. What are we woke up Monday morning to the news of Damon Arnett, right?
Right.
That seems like months ago at this point.
It really does.
It seems like months ago. Little did we know that was a prelude to a lot of madness and confusion and trying to, you know, relook at the rules and the regulations and the protocols. They're ever-changing, but there's certain things that you have to do, and there were certain things that weren't done. And as a result, you know, the Raiders are compromised going into a big game on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to be without Jonathan Abram. We know that for sure. They're going to be without Trent Brown. We know that for sure. Now the question is, what do you do with the offensive line? Because the bottom line is, if these guys are going to play, they're going to play without, and we're talking about the four other starters outside of Trent Brown, without the benefit of a week of practice and preparation. And it's not just the 90 minutes of practice that we're talking about. It's the weightlifting. It's the conditioning that you're doing. It's the talking, the communication with your teammates. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see, aside from those 90 minutes at practice, that they're completely missing out on.
Well, and if you're Derek Carr, you don't get the time with your line and your center. And with Rodney Hudson, you don't get to work on that, on your calls, all of that stuff. Yeah, you can go through stuff on Zoom, which I'm sure they're doing. But at the same time, you're right. You don't get that feel. And going into, as you called it, I think a huge game for them, not optimal. Now, we look at all of this, and Vinny, I think that, you know, as a journalist, you clearly always have to strive and are objective. As a radio host, I don't have to be as much, I guess, but I'm not a Raider fan. I didn't grow up a Raider fan.
Right.
We have tangled with people online, and a lot of people saying the Raiders are somehow being unfairly treated here. First of all, the Raiders have not gotten any punishment for anything yet, other than their game is moved up 4 hours.
Right. The reason that had to happen was because if there was an outbreak as a result of this situation, the NFL needed to make sure that they had a national game in place. That makes all the sense in the world. Is it ideal for the Raiders? No, absolutely not. It sucks for the Raiders, to be honest with you. They would prefer, to have a little bit more time, maybe a day or two to be able to get their players back in the building and be as at full strength and fully prepared for this game. But the NFL said that's just not how it's going to work.
Right.
Short of, you know, an outbreak, they're not going to make concessions for people missing practices, especially when they say we've already extended the rosters. We've extended the practice rosters. There's enough players in place right now. Even if the offensive, the four other starters were not able to play, there's enough players to get by on Sunday. And as far as the league concerned, that's good enough.
Well, and Vinny, a lot of the callers that we've had today and some of the folks who've messaged us over the course of the last 24 hours, one of the things they bring up, and I want to clarify again with you on this, because I've said this throughout, which is the situations are always different. You can't say, well, why? What about the Titans and what about the Patriots? First of all, the NFL had a set of rules agreed upon with the NFLPA. They went through those. As those rules were broken or compromised, the NFL harshened the rules. They got stronger with how they were doing it because this is a pandemic. It is not just a rule that you have to follow because they made it up. It is for the health and safety of everybody involved football. And so explain to people the differences between some of those other situations and this situation.
They're not going to postpone games unless it's an extreme situation, an extreme outbreak, multiple days where the building has been closed. They're not going to... The way the NFL looks at it is, okay, I mean, you know, this is highly unlikely, but what would have happened if all four linemen had gotten hurt during practice? They're not going to stop the game because you had four guys go down in practice or even five guys go down in practice. You go get guys and play the game, and that's just how that works. Now, if there's, an outbreak where multiple players are affected and coaches, and now you're starting to worry about, you know, it being contagious and passing it along and the building having to be closed and all of that type of stuff, that's what's caused postponements in the past. But those are extreme measures, and the NFL doesn't want to get into a situation where something like this happens and they're just so fast to pull a trigger on postponing a game. Because when you postpone a game, it affects a lot of people. It affects other teams. It affects future opponents of other teams. So you have to be really careful in when you decide to pull that trigger and utilize that tool. And the NFL just does not feel like this falls into that category.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest here on Silver and Black today. His show, In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, coming up next at 4 o'clock. And Vinny, I know you talked a lot about it on your show yesterday, but the handling of the Trent Brown situation. Now, the NFL has an investigation, right? So they're going to do this investigation. But from what you hear from folks either inside the Raiders or in the league, how bad does it look for Trent Brown in this? Because a lot of people today have called and said, hey, let's wait until we see what the investigation shows. But clearly the Raiders are going to know, or someone's going to know in the league, whether or not this looks good or bad for Trent Brown.
Well, we already know that the reason that these guys have been deemed high risk is because they didn't have the necessary data to rule them out as high risk contacts. And the only way that you can do that is by analyzing the data from the tracking monitor. That's why somebody on Twitter was like, why do they have to monitor these players? For this, do you want, you know, so that you can rule players out, like, oh, okay, that's good. They should be fine. They should be safe. They're allowed back into the building. But because he didn't have that, there's nothing that they can do other than to say we have to err on the side of caution and just say you're a high risk candidate. So it defies logic that people are arguing this point. Everybody signed up for this. Everyone signed up for all the stipulations, all the rules and regulations. Is it a hassle? A little bit, but it's not that big of a hassle. And does it change your life a little bit? Yes, but all of our lives have been changed a little bit. Do you want to play or don't you want to play? Are you in or not in? And it's not just about you, but it's about all of your teammates, all of your coaches, all of the staff members that are there. You had a chance to opt out. If you didn't want to play by these rules or operate under these rules, nobody would have blamed you. Nobody would have batted an eye. You would have, the league would have worked with you on your contract and what it meant to your career and all of that. Everything was in place to either be in or be out. No questions asked. But if you're in, you're in, and you are a part of this, and you're a part of the rules and regulations. That's the bottom line. And Trent Brown, didn't. And it's not just him who's being affected at all. In fact, it's the entire team that's being affected right now. The quarterback, the coach, how you're game planning, who you're able to practice with, who you're able to count on and not be able to count on. It wasn't just Trent Brown. And that's why it's not that I get angry, but I just had to scratch my head over people who are feeling like we're attacking Trent Brown. I'm not attacking Trent Brown. Nobody is attacking him, but you know, and here's a guy that, what, a couple of weeks ago, I'm a grown man. You know, I don't need to answer to anybody. I'm a grown man. Well, part of being a man, part of being an adult,
responsibility,
is being responsible. And it's counterintuitive and a contradiction in terms to sit there and claim that you're this grown man if you can't follow simple rules that every other man and woman in that building has to follow. So stop it with that.
And by the way, just not just a bar, but in that same press conference where he said he didn't care what people think. Well, apparently he doesn't care about anything, anybody else, because you know what? I said it earlier, Vinny, and it goes back to all of us and what we're all going through as a collective society, and that is what you do can impact people. You have four guys that I know on that team that are in close proximity to him that have pregnant wives.
Right. There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things at stake here. Now, yesterday you and Lincoln also talked a lot about, hey, look, this team is better with Trent Brown, but what point do you make the tough decision? And I'm not saying they just cut them loose necessarily, but what do you do here? You have to balance your team's ability to win on the field with how you control that locker room, with how you control the culture of your team. So are they at that point now?
I don't think they're there yet. But you have to imagine that it's one more strike and you're out, buddy. I mean, you know, we can't keep having this.
Right.
We can't keep having one player affect the whole operation as much as he did this week. That's just one player in one week just completely, compromising the entire operation. And now everyone has to make do. Colton Miller didn't do anything wrong. You know, Gabe Jackson didn't do anything wrong. Rodney Hudson didn't do anything wrong. Denzel Good didn't do anything wrong. They were just at practice communicating with
one of their
teammates.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now they have to just, you know, sit idly by at home, not be able to practice, not be able to prepare for a tough opponent. And you know what? You're going to be cleared Sunday morning, and let's play in about 3 hours. I mean, come on. You know, come on. And I go back to the whole, I'm a grown man. Well, you're not acting like it. And that's, you know, this is a professional sport. You're not in college. You're not in high school. You're also the highest paid player on the team, along with Derek Carr. For me, it's never about dollars and cents. But at some point, when you're getting paid that much, you're a role model, whether you want to be or not. And it's time for him to start acting like it and stop being this oblivious guy that's out there on Twitter, liking this, liking that, like nothing's going wrong.
Tweeting pictures of pools being built the same day.
That's fine. Yeah. But how about some just being a little bit contrite? Hey, man, I'm sorry. I let my guard down. I screwed up. My bad. I will never let that happen again. But there isn't even like the thought of apologizing out loud to a lot of fans that he's letting down right now that help pay his salary. Sorry, Trent, but these people that are your fans pay your salary, help pay it. The people that watch on TV, a little bit goes a long way in that regard. And he's just kind of floating around like nothing has happened, and a lot has happened.
Well, and even today, tweeting things about people lying and stuff. It's like, come on, man.
Right.
You need to be, there's a time, and it's, you know, as you age too, you like to give younger guys some advice too. It's part of being a man. And you say, hey, listen, man, you know, we all screw up.
Right.
We all make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, the best way to deal with it is to own it, learn from it, and then move on.
Now, if it turns out that he did nothing wrong, that this was all a bunch of information that got out that was you know, not accurate, we'd be the first to say, oh, okay, we're following, but it isn't. And that's a fact of the matter. And so, again, for him to just be floating around like everything is all good, it's not all good. And why isn't it good? Because you couldn't be expected to do the simplest thing that you were asked to do while you were in that building. The smallest little thing, and you couldn't even do that. And so you're darn right that there should be some criticism, and that there should be, that anger from the fan base, disappointment from the team, teammates, everyone in that building. Yeah, there's disappointment, and there needs to be, and it's all justified.
It is, no doubt about it. Now, Vinny, we got about a minute left. What do you got coming up on the show with Lincoln today?
Well, we're going to talk about Jonathan Abram now, waking up to that news that he was, you know, in close contact with Trent on Tuesday, so therefore that pushes his five-day clock up a day, which means he's not going to be available on Sunday, unfortunately. The earliest he could get in is on Monday. What the Raiders are going to do at offensive line, do you just play them? I think they are. And there's like, you know, scenario. Two levels of wrong, like or bad. It's yeah. That's bad, but is that as bad as playing a slew of backups? I think that playing all the backups would have been worse. So, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday, but we're going to talk all about it.
So much to talk about still, and it would have been great if we were just talking about the matchup.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic if
Welcome
we were able to
do that. Welcome to professional
football. Yes, exactly. You never know what's going to happen. And real quickly, though, you thought before all this, Raiders would win this game.
I thought they had, yeah.
And I still think they could.
Of course.
But it's going to be a bigger battle for
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. No doubt about guys. It. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look pretty good. It looks like they're going to get Antonio Brown here in a little bit. So go figure.
Hey, they just need a little bit of crazy to put him over the top.
He's
right?
going from a Raider to a Buccaneer. Same family.
Same family. All right, Vinny Bonsignore coming up next with Lincoln Kennedy on In the Huddle. Want to thank you guys for joining us here all week. A reminder, follow us on Twitter. My handle, at LVGully, G-U-L-L-Y, at YourBoyQ254, at SilverBlack, the number 2 day. Check out the website, silverandblacktoday.com. Check out Mo Moten's column we talked about earlier as well. You can also sign up there on your favorite podcast provider. If you're an Apple guy or girl, make sure you sign up on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you can get the archives to these shows, and make sure you don't miss another. For Q Myers, I'm Scott Gilbranson, and for our producer engineer, that is Mr. Bobby Machado. We will talk to you next week, and we'll give you the lowdown on what went down with the Raiders and the Buccaneers here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. We'll